In this midweek service with the singing of hymn number 562. Jesus is the King of kings, and in Him are all my springs. Jesus lived and died for me, and from bondage sets me free. 562. Tonight out of God's most holy word you can find in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as a fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. As far as the reading of God's most holy word, he had his blessing and teach us to pray. O most holy and sovereign God of heaven, great art thou, O Lord God, and glorious, infinite in time, from the never-begun eternity to the never-ending eternity, never tiring, never weary, and almighty in power, knowing all things and seeing all things and everywhere present. And yet, Lord gracious, ever so gracious and merciful, ever so full of love, unbounded love, pure and holy and eternal love, overflowing love, O God of love and mercy, long-suffering and forbearing, O turn unto us tonight. For, Lord, we are poor sinners and empty, wretched creatures. We are of this earth earthy. O Lord, that we are full of sin and full of darkness and ignorance. But thou art a God of love, and thy mercy is continuous and everlasting. Look down then this day, this evening, this mid-week evening service upon us, a small company of poor people, desiring, Lord, to be fed the bread of life, to be turned upon that gospel way, to see a cheering a sight of Jesus Christ, for true faith to be implanted in our souls, for our glorious robe to adorn our nakedness. O Lord, blessings that thou alone can give. So, Lord, make us poor, make us needy. O humble us in the dust and afflict us, but, Lord, that thou might reveal thy Son to us, that thou, Lord, in mercy might visit us and teach us. Oh, that thou would enlighten us, Lord, and shine with thy glorious light. For thou art all light and pure light, and but before thee the darkness flees away. O Lord, then remember us, and bring us into that gospel church, and grant us, Lord, a sight of that blessed dear Jesus, the glorious Redeemer. O the crucified Savior, the ascended one who mediates even now, the sacred intercessor. O Lord, we would truly see him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would be taken this night, Lord, away from the carking cares of this world and all its pleasures and its perishing riches. Oh, we would beg thee, Lord, that we might ascend into heaven and that we might be given spiritual affections and that we might know what it is to be born again, and that we might know what it is to be sons and daughters of Adam, of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, remember us. Oh, how we do need thy teaching. Lord, do not leave us, but remember us according to thy mercy. Remember us in our families. Remember our children. And Lord, do especially remember Marguerite's mother even now at this moment. And Lord, in great weakness and sickness, that thou, Lord, might draw nigh. Oh, shine in the soul. Reveal thyself as that precious one. And show thyself to be that never-leaving, never-forsaking God. And that thou might prove even now to be that one whose word is firm and true. And that there may be comfort even now, that thou might show thyself, and that thou might sustain. O Lord, to remember, and to remember each one in weakness and sickness, and those with crosses and trials, and those who are touched by the truth of death, the frailty of the body, our sinful dispositions. O Lord God, that thou might remember such ones bowed low. Thou art a burden bearer, and a healer, and a counselor. Indeed, Lord, thou art all the joy and comfort unto thy people. And all that the trials of this life might prove, to bring us to Jesus' feet, to be brought emptied out of this world, and to find that fullness in Christ. And Lord, that it may be the song of thankfulness, and a song of praise, that thou wast afflicted, and that thou wast caused us to smite upon our breasts, and thou caused us to consider our ways, that we might flee for refuge to Christ. Sanctify, Lord, then every trial and every trouble and affliction, that thy name may be glorified and exalted, that thou may be honored and reverenced in the lives of such ones. Oh, Lord, we pray especially that it may not prove to the hardening of the heart and the carelessness of those restored to health. Lord, remember us. Oh, Lord, we can do nothing good and feel it. Poor, poor creatures we are remain. But Lord, we would be poor and needy, and yet thought of, remembered by thee, touched by thee, blessed by thee. Remember those who are not with us in this evening. O God, thou art everywhere present, and that thou might remember those who could not be with us, and those who would not be with us. O thou knowest all things, for thou art God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou might remember our congregation, remember each one in their paths, and remember them in their households. Remember them, Lord, in all their needs. O God, look down upon us in mercy. Bless our cause. Bless our denomination. Bless our dear brethren as they preach thy precious word. O bless thy servants throughout this world. Lord, that thy church may be strengthened. Thy church may be lifted up. Thy church may be comforted. Jesus Christ preached and extolled. Jesus Christ, having all the preeminency, Jesus Christ being all and in all. And thou, Heavenly Father, oh, to worship thee, to acknowledge thy goodness and thy love. So remember thy servants as they preach, as thou hast thrust them out into the world, so strengthen them. And bless them, Lord, with rich tokens of thy love, that they may point poor sinners unto Jesus Christ, that they may exalt thee above all. Lord, we pray again for thy blessed word. We pray that it might be distributed throughout this world, that it might be translated into many languages yet. How many there are have never read thy word. Lord, we pray that thou would give us a hungering and thirsting after that word. And we pray that it may be that light and guidance upon our paths and in our homes, the sweet savor of salvation in our hearts. Lord, remember us. Oh, do remember us, Lord, for good. We thank thee tonight again, for thou art good and gracious, and hast spared yet to this time. O Lord, that thou might give us thankful themes, the knowledge of those blessings from on high, thy goodness, thy love, thy favor bestowed upon us. Tune our hearts, O Lord, to sing thy praises, thy love, thy church chosen and brought out of the world, thy church purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, thy church comforted. O Lord God, do fill us then, even tonight, with these precious truths. Forgive us all our sins. Make up in heaven where we fail in asking. We ask all things in that ever-blessed and precious name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Continue with singing from hymn number 561. Jesus, our heavenly warrior is. He fights our battles well. His wisdom, love, and power displays and conquers death and hell. 561. Need the Lord's help again tonight. Draw your prayerful attention to Isaiah 9, verse 5. Isaiah 9, verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. I want to speak this evening, ours, Lord, may enable me. In the theme of that ever-blessed and precious name of Jesus as a warrior, as there is a battle to be fought, a war to be engaged in, and numerous things to overcome, to to endure. Really, friends, when we just sung this hymn, all the truths of this warrior and of this battle we have sung, touched on so beautifully, of the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of His people, His poor children that cannot fight their battles, cannot win the war, cannot overcome their enemies. Oh, the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome darkness and to bring into the marvelous light of His kingdom such subjects. And the graciousness of God to the God-man to endure on behalf of His subjects or His soldiers as they too are called on to fight the warfare, to fight a fight of faith, to walk in the paths of trouble and distress and to meet with enemy after enemy and to engage in warfare as well. To be called to gird upon themselves the armament of a Christian, that is the truths that we can find and we hope to speak of later on this evening of the that you can find in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of the Lord. Simply put, the child of God must be called upon to put on armory. And the child of God must too also be brought to that place to prove that armory. As we read of David, when he fought against Goliath and was called upon to put the armor of Saul on, and yet he took it off for he had not proved it. We will come, dear friends, if we're brought into that gospel way, and become true subjects of Jesus Christ and subjects of that heavenly kingdom to prove our armory, to prove what we read in our text, where it's every battle of the warrior. In the margin, it is the equipment of the warrior, that which the warrior puts upon himself, the surrounding environment, the noise and the noise and cries of the battle. The shedding of blood, the wounding of the body, the blood that flows. Oh, the swords that glisten and the shoutings of the enemies against one another. The heavy conflict that is faced in that, especially that warfare in the olden times when they brandished their swords and their spears and their pikes and all the ferociousness of the soldiers as they fought hand to hand and in close proximity with one another, and death was before their very eyes. Wounded they were quite often, dismembered so often, and dead ones lying throughout the battlefield. This is the theme that we would speak of tonight, beloved friends. A warfare and a heavy conflict that is certain that we are called to face if the Lord will have us as one of His. Oh, we too will need, beloved friends, the strength of another, as the Lord draws us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and where we become the a spectacle of enemies and become the spectacle of the animosity of Satan as he seeks to destroy our souls, seeks to overcome us by his poisonous darts and his venomous arrows, bitten by the fiery serpents. Dear friends, like those travelers of old in the wilderness journey, unless we be given that precious faith to look up unto the brazen serpent, to look up unto him who is lifted up on high, oh, we shall certainly perish. We shall certainly die. And there is no overcoming except in the blood of the Lamb, in the goodness of the Lamb, in the victory obtained by the Lamb of God. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And really, we see the prophecy of this again when my thoughts went back to Psalm 2. My thoughts went back there to that truth of the hatred against Jesus Christ, that salvation through Jesus Christ, that righteousness by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, that living faith that believes these truths as a gift of God. All the world will come against these things. They will make all manner of different doctrines. They will seek to sway aside hearers in a doctrine that is not of the Word of God, in a salvation that is not of Jesus Christ. They will, I see that so often, especially today. There's all manner of talk of religion, and there's all manner of talk of Christianity. There's all manner of talk of the love to Jesus Christ, and there's even this so-called Calvinistic viewpoint in it, when it's nothing more than Arminianism. Nothing more than a free will, so-called under the banner of Calvinism. These are all, dear friends, the ways to destroy the soul, the ways in which Satan is using to draw, to seek to draw the Lord's people away from the truth, away from that foundation which is already laid, the Lord Jesus Christ slain. The truth of that man has no will, and man has no strength, and man has no love, man has no desire, man has no ability, man has nothing in himself that he should desire heaven or Jesus Christ. Man is too proud, arrogant, independent, to want a salvation in the glorious God-man mediator. In this chapter here in Isaiah 9, it is the very sin of Ephraim that the Lord would send enemies against her, the Philistines and the Assyrians that would come and to perplex her, because the Israelites the people of Samaria, the 10 tribes of Israel, they were full of pride. They were so full of themselves. It's recorded in here. In the 9th verse, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it lighteth upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stone. Oh, they would resist the word of God. They would not repent, they would not turn. They would not seek that one only true way of worship in the sanctuary at Jerusalem. They worship those calves at Dan and Bethel. And we read again, they would not turn back in the 13th verse, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Oh, the Lord, friends, in this chapter we speak firstly then of a burning and a fuel of fire. A people who will not repent, a people who will not turn. You go back to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed, saying, let us cast their cords from us, and let us burst their bands from them from us, and cast their cords away from us. We will not have this God to rule and reign over us. There is a stoutness of heart, a pride in the man's heart that will not bow down before the Lord God, will not seek this precious warrior, have no need of that strength of this warrior, of the victory obtained by this warrior, of the blood that was shed by this warrior, of the sacredness and beauty of this warrior, Jesus Christ. They will not bow down before him. They will not kiss his feet. Psalm 2 ends so beautifully. Kiss the Son. Reverence Him, worship Him, adore Him, seek Him, call upon Him, beg of Him, plead with Him, exhort Him to have mercy, pray incessantly to Him. Kiss the Son, lest ye perish in the way when His wrath is kindled upon thee but a little. I was going to say this in Isaiah 9, the people of Israel. There's also a burning. Not in Jesus Christ there, for it says, every battle of the warrior is with a confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. You read that in the 18th and 19th verses. For wickedness burneth as a fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and shall kindle in the thickest of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. To the wrath of the Lord of hosts is a land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. Oh, dear friends, plead with the Lord that he might soften our hearts. and give us a repenting spirit, and a turning unto Jesus Christ, and a need for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's sinking just this day again. The wilderness way. The various conflicts that we face day after day. The shield that gets so battered by the arrows hurled against it. The weakness of the soldier. Oh, I have his proneness to turn back. His cowardice, his fear. How he does need this precious Jesus. But here we find a people who never wanted Jesus, who never needed Jesus, didn't need his strength, and would not bow down to his scepter, would not obey his ways and his commandments. And here it is said so expressly, that wickedness shall burn like a fire, and the flame shall rise up into heaven in the smoke of that fire, and this people shall be the fuel of that fire. Utterly destroyed. How stands the case tonight in our souls, beloved friends? How stands the need of our soul? Our estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ as a warrior. When we sung that hymn, he's a conqueror of death and hell. He's an overcomer of his people's enemies. Like that young man, David himself, through the help of the Lord, through the strength of the Lord, through the presence of the Lord, I've slain both a bear and a lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall also fall by the hand of God. Oh, a faith in God and his strength. Oh, a trusting in the Most High God and his power to overcome my enemies. A precious faith, a strong faith. We speak of, again, in 1 John, in 1 John 5, I believe it is there. The soldier's call to go to bear his arms. To go waging that warfare against the world. That which was so pleasing to itself. That which consumed him in his time, in all his lust and all his pleasures, was all in the world. And now the Lord calls out of darkness into the marvelous light of his own pathway, of that wilderness way. Now he has to battle against that which he formerly loved, and those friends of his now become foes. What is the armory? His strength? His vows to God to obey him? His love? None of these things. And this is the victory. See, a victory. This is the overcoming. This is the way and means in which we shall overcome the world, because it's our enemy. The lust of the world, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye, they're enemies, and how shall we overcome? How shall we battle against it? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are given weapons, we said, to fight. And we shall overcome that which we formerly loved through a gift from heaven. God shall grant unto my soul living faith in this precious warrior Jesus Christ. He is my strength. He is my overcomer, not of the world, but of all things. He's the overcomer of my lust. He's the overcomer of my foolishness. He's the overcomer of all my sins. He's the overcomer of my wretched, filthy unrighteousnesses. In faith, grasp hold of the hem of his garment. Faith clasps hold of his precious feet and kisses them with the holy joy and delight. Faith weeps the tears of sorrow, grief, and joy in what the warrior has done for me. Every battle of the warrior was with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Friends, how stands the state of our soul tonight as it concerns salvation, as it concerns the remission of sins, as it concerns an acceptableness with God? In Hebrews 2, Jesus is given the name Captain. The Captain of salvation. I know in the margins it says author, but for in context to our sermon, our text, to use the word as it is written in the Word of God, for it became him, Almighty God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, in garments rolled in blood and with confused noise, enemies assaulting Jesus Christ continually and daily seeking to overcome, and Jesus Christ fighting that warfare for his children, for his sons and for his daughters, overcoming, conquering, dispelling their enemies and destroying their enemies, and destroying all that stood in the way of them in eternal salvation, eternal felicity, and the everlasting life that they shall be granted. Jesus was made perfect through sufferings. He's a captain of salvation. Is he our captain? Or does he stand at the head of the army and we following him? You see the first fruits in that sense, dear friends. Has he gone before? And has he revealed that precious work of a Redeemer? You go to, I think it's Hebrews 9. And the word I'm thinking of this is that and by the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The warrior's garments must be sprinkled with his blood, stained with his blood, from the very crown of his head, over his precious face and down his body. The blood rolled profusely, dripped profusely, poured profusely from his precious, rich and holy body. Garments stained in blood in battle. Do we need such a blood-shedding Savior? Such a wondrous warrior to go before us? Give me Christ, or I die. Lord, reveal thy power within me, thou almighty conqueror of Satan, and of sin, and all that is connected with sin. In that second chapter of Hebrews, we find again the sacred delight of the living church. Those that are harassed and assaulted by Satan, they need not stand alone. Indeed, the most dangerous place for them to be is alone, in their own strength, in their own righteousness. It says this. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise partook of the same. The warrior is a real man. A warrior, the blessed warrior, is a man like unto us, that understands our weaknesses, that has engaged in each of our weaknesses, and overcome our weaknesses and overcome our temptations. He is sat in the places where we sit. He is engaged in conflict where we are being engaged in. Tempted like we were tempted. Tried like we are tried. Sorrowing like we are sorrowing. And very deep, dark places like we are called to walk upon. Oh, that we might have a person that to call upon, a warrior to plead the name of Jesus. Our hymn writer says it so sacredly and so beautifully. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ, as that warfaring man, a fighting Savior, fighting on my behalf, and we pray fighting on your behalf. Do we have enemies? Spiritual enemies. Are we afraid, dear friends, of Satan's temptations? Here he comes again with another assault. Here comes that subtle one. He's called a serpent for a very good reason. Wise as a serpent, subtle as a serpent, and dangerous as a serpent. Filled with fiery venom, able to destroy our souls. Filled with all wickedness and evil. Filled with everything that is connected to death and hell. That's the child of God's enemy, adversary. He watches and watches and watches, waiting for the moment, the precise moment, to slip in, to trip up the feet, to set the snare, to dig the hole in our pathway, to turn our eyes aside. To set upon our eyes, the sin that doth so easily beset us. The temptation that will surely overcome us. The powerful corruption that we cannot resist. That weakness in our character that he knows. That will plunge us into darkness, into sinfulness, and into sorrow. Satan knows. He knows exactly how to trip you and to trip me. It is a mercy, beloved friends, where our eyes may be turned to Jesus. There's such a beauty when we read in the Word of God the paths of Jesus, the great temptations of Jesus, the 40 days in the wilderness, and the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. That in every dart that Satan thrusts in our poor bodies, every sinful temptation has been thrust into the pure body of Jesus prior. And he overcame. It did not affect him. Oh, blessed Jesus, dear friends, could not become defiled because of it. And every temptation that Satan sought to destroy our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that holy, pure one, oh, he defied him. He denied him and would have nothing to do with him. Now, we have proof of that in the Word of God, in the blessed Gospel of John. Behold, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Are we ever thankful? Are we so thankful, friends, of such a word? Satan could not overcome this warrior. In all his temptations that he tempted Jesus, Jesus' response was, "It is written in the Word of God." It is written, "Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Man shall not just eat bread, but man shall eat that spiritual bread. That bread that never perishes. That bread of eternal life. All that is of the world is sin. And nor shall we tempt God. We see in those deep temptations of Jesus Christ, our victory, the child of God's victory in this life, in this time state, daily as she walks the paths of life and also engages in spiritual warfare, called upon to be holy and righteous in all manner of conversation. How can we be righteous and how can we be holy? Except through that work of the dear warrior. What is our estimation of Jesus' battle? And when we speak of blood, the blood of the God-man, the wounded, smitten body of Jesus Christ, and pure blood that dripped upon this cursed earth, do we wonder with holy delight? about the effects of this blood, the riches of this blood, the purity of this blood, the ability of this blood, the defense through this blood. This blessed warrior, whose garments were rolled in blood. We see him as he groans, as he falls down on his knees, as he begins to wrestle with his father there in Gethsemane. And he sweats those great drops of blood. We see the beginning of that sacrifice happening there, waging a warfare for his people's sins, not his own, but his people's. Waging a war against Satan and the curse that his temptation brought upon mankind. When Adam and Eve heeded to that temptation of Satan, it is there that sin entered into them. It is there they lost everything of that resemblance of God. The likeness of God, the righteousness of God, and the holiness of God, and that sacred knowledge of God. And now the resemblance was of this one whose name is Satan. A liar and a murderer from the beginning. Dear friends, it is a wonder. It's a miracle of miracles, if this one shall become our enemy, Satan. It's a wonder of wonders. When blessed Jesus may enter into our souls and drive him out of our hearts, out of our feelings, out of our affections, out of the very abode of our souls. And we begin to long that this blessed Jesus and all that is associated with Jesus might remain within us. And from the very moment, beloved friends, that this dear Jesus enters into our soul, we will begin to understand what it is to be in warfare. Battle after battle, skirmish after skirmish. The child of God is called to walk in. And she'll never make it one step in that warfare, except that Jesus Christ is her warrior. The enemy is too strong. He's too subtle, too wily. And she's too weak. She's nothing but weakness. She's a coward. She's unable. And she doesn't even know how to fight. Here's the wonder again. This blessed warrior, whose garments are rolled in blood, in his own blood. As he led him up to Calvary, as he nailed his hands to that tree and drilled those spikes, we would say, into his precious feet. And suspended him above this earth, that there, that blood would be emptied out of his body. That blessed Jesus Christ, dear friends, gives his people everything they need to fight against their enemies. Has he given us those weapons? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we go find it there. What it is to be ready for battle. A breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation. The garment or the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. You see there, dear friends, that the weapons that she has to fight are those gifts that God has given her and prepared for her. Do we have such weapons for our defense? Something to protect our heart, our soul, a breastplate of righteousness. It was won on Calvary, dear friends. We would say, in a sense, it was won through the entirety of his life. His sacred obedience, his holiness. How often we come back to that theme. My blessed Jesus is a holy man, the holy God man, and so pure, so ever preciously pure, that he could weave a precious robe, a glorious dress, the fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. By Jesus' acts for me. That when Satan comes against me, I think it's in Isaiah 65 where it speaks of our righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Utterly deplorable in the sight of God. The breastplate that I wear, the protection of my soul, oh, the covering of my nakedness and my shame, my sinfulness and wretchedness, as that glorious dress woven by Jesus Christ, my precious warrior. He's clothed me with it. He's revealed it to me, showed me that I am righteous before God through Him. He is the Son of Righteousness. And when we would say that in a sense too in battle, when we are wounded by the arrows of Satan, He's the Son of Righteousness that arises with healing on His wings. Oh, dear friends, has the warrior healed you? Healed your wounds? That good Samaritan that binds up the wounds, these sins, he binds up the effects of sin, the pain of sin. Has He come in His mercy and His compassion and spoken unto our souls and healed us? It's in those garments rolled with blood, steeped in His blood. It's in His exceeding great loving kindness that He answered His Father's demands and came down. I looked and wondered that there was no man that could uphold, no man that could save, no man that could deliver, no man that could intercede. Therefore I came, and my own arm it brought forth salvation. I know it's not word for word. Glorious work of Jesus Christ, that warrior, rolled in blood. He gives us strength, dear friends. He gives us that shield that looks unto Him and believes in what He has done for me. So it means when we looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the shame and endured the cross, we look unto that blessed Savior. He's my warrior. He's my defender. He demands of Satan to be gone. It's something like that story of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. And where it says there, where Satan, Apollyon, comes and fights against Christian and will not let the traitor Christian go one step further on the wilderness journey. And he fights with such rage against Christian. This was one of mine, and I will not lose him. I will not lose this. This is one of my favorites. This is my chief sinner. This is what I thought I held the firmest. But the power of God is such that He takes chief sinners and rebels and obstinate and wicked and proud and stout of heart and melts them and brings them that gospel way. And there they go. They go weeping, they go crying, they go walking. Oh, but they go on and on and on, seeking to find Jesus and to find that place where Jesus is, where they may dwell together in holiness and with sinlessness. But Satan will seek to stop them and remind them, remember who you were, remember what you did. Remember this sin, remember that sin, remember that sin. They'll have to say, all these things are true. All these accusations are true, Apollyon, adversary of my soul. Yet I long for Jesus. Oh, your city, your place, my previous abode is a place of eternal destruction, eternal torment, and the wrath of God upon my soul forever and ever and ever. I long to be freed. And there's no freedom with you. Only tyranny, bondage, darkness, sinfulness, and eternal damnation after that. And he sees he's losing one. And he assaults with all ferocity against that one who seeks to leave his side in his service. And he's almost overcome. And we say almost. Because he cannot be overcome, and he cannot be destroyed, and he cannot ever come again into the arms of that one. Because Almighty God has His hand in this soul. And that precious warrior has undergone the battle for that one. And the love of God may be unknown. It may even be unfelt. Is in that one. And that precious faith is given to flee to Jesus for refuge and to plead the word of God for his safety. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for it is written, when I fall, I shall rise again. How I shall rise in the strength of my dear Savior. It is resurrection power. Him who is risen from the dead, never to die anymore. Him who is interceded into, ascended into heaven and maketh intercession for his saints and all those who come unto God through him. That's what's written in the Word of God. There is a Almighty God who Satan cannot overcome. And there's a precious warrior who destroyed Satan. You go back to Hebrews 2. And it's exactly what it says at the end of that chapter. For as much as those children were partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same that he might destroy him. Who? Apollyon. The great adversary, the tempter of the soul, the one who seeks to destroy them and overcome them, who continually sets trap after trap after trap for their feet, who continually seeks to destroy their soul. This precious warrior, whose garments were rolled in blood, overcame that adversary. What a comfort to our soul. And I trust the child of God can come in with me on this one. Blessed Jesus. The theme of a conquering, victorious Jesus. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy sting? This sacred words we quoted from last Sunday too. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The Alpha and the Omega, and I have the keys of hell and death. Oh, dear friends, this blessed warrior has those keys. Then we could turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and find that grave cannot hold us, that Satan cannot destroy us, that sin will not have continual dominion over us, and that our corruptions will be subdued within us through this warrior whose garments are rolled in blood. I think of another theme. And this one, dear friends, is very different in the, and if you find that in Isaiah 63. In that sense, we find blessed Jesus, his garments are rolled in blood, and we can take it back again to Psalm 2. He shall tread down his enemies and dash them in pieces. Be wise now, therefore, ye rulers and judges of the earth, tremble and fear before this Lord. For he has trod the winepress of the wrath of God alone. He has destroyed all his enemies. Violently tramped them down and broke them into pieces. Be wise, therefore, and repent, ye children of man. Unconverted in our midst. There's a winepress, you know. There's a winepress of the wrath of God. The vengeance of God against the sinfulness of man, against the stoutness of the hearts of man, against the rebelliousness of man, against the denials of man of the need of God, of the unrepentant man. There's also the garments rolled in blood there. Who is this that cometh forth from Edom in garments dyed in blood? It's a wonderful thing when we speak of the gospel. It's a heart-melting thing to have a sight of that dying Savior. To be enabled to Thomas to put our hands in his side and our fingers in the prints of his hand. It's equally sacred, awe-inspiring, we would say, to behold the Lamb of God and the throne of God. And to receive something of the tender mercies of God. Because notice something, friends. Did you notice that when we read tonight in Isaiah 9? Three times repeated in this chapter. His hand was stretched out. His mercy was still there to the people of Israel. A merciful God. a gracious God, a long-suffering God, a forbearing God. And yet we cannot omit the fact, the truth. Waiting, expecting. That's what Jesus is doing now. Waiting, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He is the King of Kings. And he has gained that title, dear friends, in his death, in his sufferings, in his bloodshedding. He is the King whereby every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But shall it be, dear friends, in that blood on Calvary? Or shall it be in the winepress of the wrath and fury of God? So we rejoice in Christ, our crucified Savior, in his precious blood that he has shed for us. Or shall it be in that way of vengeance and fury against the unrepentant? A solemn thing for us to meditate on. I want to pass on and speak a little this evening of that one who has become that little soldier, whom the Lord has enlisted. It's a strange thing. Here is that difference, friends. And we want to set it out. In every army, we have the masses of the soldiers united together. And the greater the army, we'd say almost the greater the strength. How different it is in grace. God is glorified in his weak soldiers, his timid ones. All unto them is given of that strength, virtue, loving kindness, light, direction, faith, and every necessary weapon to fight the spiritual warfare. They have their strength in another. They're made mighty through the gifts and graces of God through Jesus Christ. I think of that word of the Apostle Paul. He speaks it so beautifully. He speaks it so truthfully. In that chapter where he speaks of the thorn in the flesh, one would think that the mighty warrior, the victorious soldier in the battle, is that one, as like David's elder brother Eliab, I think his name was. No. The Apostle Paul was allowed to have that thorn in the flesh. He was in that sense, he had to have the thorn in his flesh. He had to have that which he would much rather it was gone. Whatever that thorn was, we do not exactly know. But we know that Paul longed that it might be taken from him. I besought the Lord thrice that it might be removed from me. And he said, no. For my strength, and you know the rest, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the soldiers. They get their strength from their dear Savior. They get the ability to face the enemy through that virtue from Christ. They get, dear friends, a hatred of sin through him who overcame sin and destroyed sin and subdued sin. They get the light upon their pathway from him who said when he was on earth, I am the light of the world. They have nothing in themselves. The hymn writer says it. We say it so many times. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross. For there is my life, there is my hope, there is my strength, there is my joy, there is my remission, there is my reconciliation, there is my all. My dear Savior, in his garments rolled in blood. And we see that soldier, dear friends, ever so strong, ever so fearless, through Jesus, through the determination and fearlessness of Christ. And that conquest gained by Christ is their fearlessness. We're speaking Sunday evening of that child of God who had the marks of the fear of the Lord and the obedience unto Jesus Christ, but walking a dark pathway that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Did you notice in the chapter that we read that people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light? And they that walked in the shadow of death, upon them has that light come. That blessed work of Jesus Christ again, my light, the dispeller of my darkness, the very coming of Jesus, the bright morning star, the light in a dark place, the light in this world itself. There it speaks again, beloved friends, of Jesus Christ. Upon them hath the light shined. Oh, that was such a sweet word there, to look upon that by faith. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. This warrior whose garments were sprinkled with blood. I shall not walk in darkness forever. I shall not walk a lonely path forever. I know my Redeemer is nigh. I know my Redeemer's eyes upon me. And I know that this path of darkness will prove to work for my good and the welfare of my soul. Oh, when that light comes, when this dear Redeemer draws nigh, then the darkness shall be gone, the clouds shall break. Our hymn writer says it, the clouds ye so much dread, soon shall break with blessings on your head. This glorious Jesus Christ, the crucified dying Savior, shall be applied to our soul. Jesus himself shall shine in my soul, in my spiritual awareness. Every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Oh, how the Lord Jesus worked a perfect work of salvation. You can take this word as well, dear friends. Oh, when there's this burning, did you notice that in the hymn that we sung, that middle hymn too? As Gadsby brought in the truth of how the Father, in his vengeance, in his wrath, he laid it all upon Christ. That when the poor soul that is thus afflicted, and thus we would say tried by God, brought into the furnace of affliction, brought into deep anxiety for what he is or she is before God, the precious work of the dear Redeemer shall be the comfort of my soul. The overcomer and conqueror. Dear friends, do we know what such battles are? Have we been brought out of Satan's enlistment into the army of Jesus Christ? Spiritual soldiers? Do we have that conflict of the Shulamite? What see you within the Shulamite as it were the company of two armies? The constant striving of the flesh and the spirit, of sin and of faith. We tried, dear friends, in the temptations of the world and yet find a peace of soul resting in Jesus Christ. Are we Shulamites? the heavenly bride, to rejoice in the presence and the appearance of Jesus Christ, and thank God for the gift of His Son, that He came and shed His blood and died for me, for you. And then we think of the names of this blessed Jesus, this one who's called the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What names this warrior is given. That in every scene of life, in every peculiar path of life, there's such a wonderful aspect to Jesus Christ. There's such a cheering ray of light to Him. There's such a balm in the presence of Jesus. Such a joy for the soul. What is the warrior to us? And what if in the old army, in the old day when the battle cry was, the trumpet sound was given for battle, we see the banner flowing in the wind. We see the banner of Jesus Christ. The banner in the forefront of the battle. The banner of the eternal love of God. What a theme. That garment, that warrior with garments rolled in blood is the warrior of love. That he did that very work itself in love. And through that precious work, He gave of His love. To have my soul melted in the amazing wonder and love of God to my poor soul. That's through Jesus. And He brought me into His banqueting house. And His banner, that army banner. The banner was love. The very army itself, the child of God, terrible as an army of the love, the desires of this bride, the all the different children of the Lord, the soldiers of the Lord, they overcome the Lord Jesus Christ for their cries and their desires to Him. Dear friends, our cries ascending unto this blessed Jesus even now. Lord Jesus, reveal Thyself to me. Lord, be that precious warrior and overcomer and conqueror of all that dwells within me. Dear friends, have we been brought to loathe ourselves? Loathe who we truly are and what we have done against this Jesus? But do we see in Him as such a preciousness that He can transform us? He can renew us. He alone can redeem us. He alone can bless us. Are your continual cries, your incessant cries, dear friends, to this warrior? And you need His almighty power. His power, His love alone that will compel and draw you. In His armory, through which alone you will become victors. I think it's in Romans 8. That the love of God, nothing shall be able to separate us through that love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But the word I was thinking, it's not here. The word I was thinking was this. Who giveth us through Jesus Christ, who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, who loved us. Do we need such a victory? Through the love of Christ to us, to go to that cross and endure for you and me to overcome sin, death, hell, Satan, and our own wicked self? That's the purpose, the mission of the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the very purpose and mission of the coming of Jesus Christ as the warrior with garments rolled in blood to overcome those things by which will destroy us, which will be our ruin and our everlasting destruction. It is in Jesus Christ's work alone that we'll ever find safety, refuge, a hiding place, and deliverance from every spiritual enemy. And may the Lord grant unto us that we might become partakers of that, blessed with those weapons that the Father gives through Jesus Christ unto his children. Bring us as soldiers, striving, fighting a good warfare. Like Paul says, I have fought a good warfare, I have overcome. And from henceforth is a crown laid ready for me. Will that same crown be ready for you? And will we be able to say with Paul the same? That's not boasting, and that's not pride. That's the humble confession of the least of all saints, who hath had in him the truths and realities of real salvation and real warfare through Jesus Christ who loved, Jesus Christ who overcame, Jesus Christ who conquered, Jesus Christ who dispelled, Jesus Christ who destroyed. And may the Lord grant unto us, beloved friends, that we might be enlisted in his precious army, and that he might go before you, leading you as your precious warrior in garments rolled in blood. Amen. Sing now from hymn number 560. O thou mighty God and Savior, give us faith thy works to trace. Heavenly warrior, may we never from thee turn away our face. May we view thee standing in our wretched place. 560. Thank you.
forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss and are gathered together this evening. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Close the singing 506A.